Good afternoon, everyone. This is Memes That Can Save the World here, coming to you live from the Propaganda Factory. We are offering today a podcast, changing up the medium a little bit, and we are bringing on a very special guest today. It is Dr. Bernadette Bird Bowen, aka Dr. Bird. And I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself. Her pronouns are she, her, they, doctor. So, Dr. Bird, you go ahead and take it away.
How's it going? And it's she, they, doctor. I know it's funny. They're very unusual pronouns. So, yeah, without further ado, I'm Dr. Bird. I go by she, they, doctor because I'm a non-binary neuroqueer person. For anyone that doesn't know what neuroqueer is, neuroqueer is a term coined by Dr. Nick Walker like a number of years back. And it is a lot of things, but like in particular for me, it means I'm a late in life realized autistic person who is also queer. So I balance both masculinity and femininity. So that's the story with that. But a little bit more about me really does relate to like my education overall, I would say, which is why I include doctor. So yeah. I grew up near Chicago. I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but.
No, it's fine. It's the fresh restart today, you know, so fresh pod, you know, fresh audience.
Fair. But yeah, so I mean, everything I am, of course, is like influenced by Chicagoland at the end of the day, because I was there for like 28 years. But yeah, I grew up emo and punk kid, but like going to shows for like the last 20 years, basically. And I had no idea that I was autistic, because like I said, I'm late in life realized. So that was a shit show, if you can imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
Shit show. Yeah, so there's a lot of research that's come out in the last like 15 to 20 years that basically explains that almost everyone black or brown or assigned female at birth was missed because the diagnostic criteria was like designed to just diagnose young white cis boys. Right. So I'm one of the arguably potential billions of folks that were missed, and many of us went the punk route and drinking too much route and smoking weed route. So right. That's me. But yeah, honestly, like I think it gave me an interesting experience of life, if I'm honest, which is why I choose to include doctor as a pronoun, because the reason why I have a PhD at all is because I'm autistic and because I'm a person that like has always been like failing at being a human being.
Right.
So like I've literally had to spend my entire lifetime learning how to like blend in. And I did that successfully. And a huge part of that is me like looking into psychology, sociology, communication literature, and ending up like falling in. Because I originally was going to college for social work. I was like, I knew I wanted to help people, but that you have absolutely no resources in that, like as many other fields, you know what I mean? So like I learned that very young. And then I like came back to Chicagoland because I was like down south. I grew up in, like I said, technically a suburb of Chicago in Indiana. And so I came back and I just literally like showed up at an enrollment office at a subsect of Purdue. And I was like, I just like closed my eyes and put my finger down and sociology was what was picked. And I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
That's how you picked your field of study?
Literally, yeah. But it also fits me perfectly at the end of the day, because it's like, it allowed me to understand social problems. Like, so as someone with a PhD in media communication, I have a really unique background because a lot of folks in my field have bachelors in communications, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or communication. So like
if you could reset and just, so to understand correctly, you have an undergrad in sociology and your PhD is in what?
Media and communication.
Media and communications. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I literally fell into it. And it's because of the environmental injustice and racism of Chicagoland, if I'm honest. So like at the end of my bachelor's, I was like, what the hell am I going to do with a sociology bachelor's? Like, because you can't get a job with that. I'm going to be honest with you.
Correct.
Like most every like social science or like, you know, so many other fields this day.
Correct.
It's just like the way the banking education model fucks over all of us. but yeah, this is to say, I went to a environmental club booth because I was attracted to a woman behind it who like I literally went up to hit on. And then she was literally like, "Hey, do you want to go to this Greenpeace leadership retreat?" And I was like, "I would follow you anywhere." And then I did, and like it was hilarious because like it literally changed the trajectory of my life. Like, because had
Right.
I not done that, I wouldn't have like started campaigning. Because I did like I don't know if you've ever heard of Greenpeace's Act for Arctic campaign,
No,
but
no.
it's basically like one of the things. Like, I don't know. It's I'm hit or miss about it at this point, but it's a campaign to like end drilling in the Arctic.
I
It's
see.
something where, like, you know, I mean, as we know, right? Like, without abolishing colonial capitalism overall, like those issues are going to continue. So that's why I'm like, was that worth it? Yeah, yes and no.
Right.
But anyway, this is to say, like, when I did that, it allowed me to like get more involved in the local community and like table and find out that I love tabling, and I like am very passionate about environmental activism. I went
Right.
to, I don't know if there's this, but there was this huge protest in New York like in 2014, and I went to that, and then yeah, it just kind of like changed. So anyway, I went to that leadership retreat. Someone there happened to be in the exact program I got my PhD in.
Really?
Yeah, and they were like, "Hey, I think you don't know what you're doing with sociology. It sounds like you'd probably really like communication." And I was like, "You know what? I considered at one point switching to that, but I thought that I was too far in, so I couldn't do it." And they were like, "You should really look into it." So I came back, I told my advisor, and they were like, "Hey, you should like make sure to like basically come back." And she signed me up for a graduate communications like rhetoric course, and I loved it. And I was like,
Yeah.
"Holy shit, like I felt like this my whole life."
Yeah, I
And
took
I,
a when I've taken the persuasion rhetoric course in my undergrad, like as an
oh
elective, and
yeah,
that was one of my most favorite. That
I
was
know,
definitely
right?
my favorite class.
It's like one of those things where like if you have an analytical mind, or if you in any way are disenfranchised, like I feel like there's such an obvious pull to communication, because it's like, okay, why the hell is everything like this? Like, and you know,
I
like.
find it interesting whenever you said, you know, that you when you was trying to figure out what you were going to do with sociology,
Yeah.
you know, because frankly, when when I was choosing to go to college, which I'd went, you know, full government money, I was
Yeah.
in poverty, so I had to pick what can I get a job in 4 years, you know, so I sat there and
Yeah.
did all the research, and that's why I ended up with chemistry, because
For
even
sure.
with the projection of AI and automation and things like that, chemistry, you get a decent job in 4 years. And but man, you know, it's every day it's like I regret it, because it's like, you know, it was something by choice. And even though, you know, I'm an industrious young person or whatever, it's like
Yeah.
it's not the passion. You know, that's what we're out here every day, I guess, trying to figure out is what are we working toward, you know?
No, that's so real. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, yeah, like it led me into a field that made me understand exactly why folks are forced into that exact situation, actually. Because like
Right.
when a lot of the time when I say I have a PhD in meeting communication, people are like, "What the fuck do you study etiquette?" Like they don't they have no idea like
Right, right.
what I do. And like what I mean when I say that, because like we talked about the other day, like I am in a field called media ecology. So like I study media in the broadest sense, which in my experience and my argument includes systems of education and like
Right.
every institution that exists. You know what I mean? Because they
So
in a system, yeah.
let's get into it and break it down. If you want to lay out exactly, yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and lay out exactly what it is you study
Sure.
right now, like your specialty, and you had a recent publication as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, for anyone that's not familiar, media ecology is a field mostly popularized by old dead white guy named Marshall McLuhan. His famous phrase is "the medium is the message." So,
Correct.
anyone, yeah. So, his whole thing is it's a focus away from the content of a message and a focus on the media that is sending the message, arguing that that is altering the way that we exist in the world. And he,
And
so.
you said that's media ecology.
You bet, exactly.
Okay.
So
Gotcha.
inherent, yeah, like it was ironic to me when I first learned about it, if I'm honest, because I like fully expected this field to be already like full of critical cultural studies, because I was like, well, if you're gonna look at an ecological nature of something, like how is this not inherently going to be like anti-colonial and anti-capitalist? But I was
Correct.
sorely surprised that that was not the case. But at the same time, I think that they have, you know, they have an appreciation for an understanding that like everything that we do is relative, and they have a really useful tech like a very useful lens, I would say, to look at like the larger society from a leftist perspective. So that's what I've done with it with some colleagues since 2019. I've created a framework called critical media ecology. And like I said, the long and the short of it is that the media ecology argument is, if you have a new technology, consider that like a dropper of red food coloring.
Right.
And the entire ecology, like if we're talking about the United States, for instance, it is a giant pitcher of water, and any one technology is basically just going to drip some red food coloring into
correct.
The overall,
diffuse,
you know?
Correct. Yeah. It'll diffuse into the populace.
Exactly. And so the argument and why I study the what I study is because I'm just truly documenting like what I've lived and saying, okay, what does this say about the internet
right.
age? What does it say about the way social media influences the way we come to know ourselves, the way that we relate to others, and the way that like we built community, you know?
I think it's very interesting too, because as we had previously discussed, which we'll fully get into here for the audience in a second. It's similar to a path that I kind of naturally chose in seeing what was going on social media. And that's, I mean, why we're here today. That's why we're able to speak with so many people now, is just studying what was going on and studying how to create an engaging platform for people to express the views that, you know, they believe in. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, you know, so what area, What time frame, I guess, were you doing the most of your research for, for your social media, like for that type of project, like for your project of publication that you was working on? Like, you know, you said you was doing the research.
Like we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So because I started like my master's in 2015, I just so happened to like really get into the opportunity to start writing my own papers like the next year.
Right.
And oddly enough,
the 2016 Alaskan.
Exactly. Yeah. So and get this, the summer, the summer after I started grad school, I got basically picked on to work for the Democratic Party as a campaign manager for a state representative locally.
So you were a paid Democratic operative.
Literally.
I'm on the chat with a paid
literally.
Democratic operative.
Literally. Okay. So here's the most interesting part. So I knew better because my mentor, I'd already taken like many courses at the time that had taught me about neoliberalism, that had taught me about all the social problems. And then literally this summer, I went to have you ever heard of trap laws?
Trap laws?
Yeah.
No.
So I went to a documentary screening on my campus for a documentary about trap laws. They're targeted restriction on abortion provider laws. They've been in place for decades.
I understand.
Exactly.
Okay, yes.
So it was an event hosted by Planned Parenthood, okay? And I happened to meet both somebody that would have allowed me to either be a sex educator or work for this campaign, like this candidate who was at the event to just like try to scavenge like people to probably volunteer or something. And she came up to me because I asked like, how can I get involved with helping like make sure that these things aren't being, you know, like, cause I understand like the way that language builds our worlds. I understand language, the misinformation and the disinformation that these campaigns are using to destroy Planned Parenthood. Like, what can I do to help? And she came up and she scavenged me. And I was poor as fuck at the time. And I was like, okay, I want to talk to people and try to help.
Yeah, right.
And
I'll take,
Literally. So like it was like the most money I'd ever made in my life. But here's the thing. I campaigned, I had top numbers in the area, and then I got fired for not wearing a bra.
That's crazy.
Literally.
And you were like door knocking and like walking around and all that stuff?
For all summer. Like, and it was
That's wild.
It was the summer of Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
that's
wild.
That summer.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Of course.
So literally, yeah, like all I was doing was like going around, and I was in like the town that I grew up in. You know what I mean? So I was like door knocking. Like, but what was funniest to me about it is like they fired me because like they couldn't like legally tell me that they did that. Like so what they said is one day when I was out canvassing, I got an email and they were like, oh, like blah 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 dress code stuff. You know what I mean? And then like, I was like, I literally emailed my direct superior who's like down in Indianapolis. And I was like, is this about me? Like,
wow.
I'm about to sit and I'm just literally going to be like, if this is about me, like, just tell me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
So And then literally, they tried to tell me, even though when I was hired on, they knew that I was already teaching as like a college instructor as a part of a master's program, because I was very lucky, like that they allowed that. A lot of master's programs, like, because I taught public speaking basically for a decade before I like got my most recent job. But anyway, this is to say that like I learned after I was fired, because they gave me an ultimatum saying that I wasn't allowed to have any other job if I worked for them. And I was like, you knew when I was
Wow,
hired
that's the
on that I was
craziest.
going to, and I was so passionate about teaching. It was like how I was literally learning how to like come
That's
into my own voice. So it was
such a
like
capitalism thing, huh? Like, you
literally,
work for me, you can't do anything
no,
else.
literally, it was such bullshit. And like I write about this actually in another recent publication that I'll tell you a little bit about later. But like the long and the short of it is they gave me the ultimatum. I literally quit it, and then they still fired me a week later.
Yeah,
And
that's
I was
crazy.
like, wow, like everyone that I was, because I was like out there doing the work, you know what I mean? Like I actually work really well independently, but also like in like I'll cold call anybody. Like I'll be like I love talking to strangers. Like I'll be like, okay, let's fucking, yeah.
Yeah,
But
you
anyway,
go get her,
so
gotta get out there and get it, you know?
right. Yeah. So but yeah, it literally like I was like, wow, like I am absolutely like I am never like I knew better and I got fucked over in the way that I would expect.
How many publications do you have? How many publications do you have as
Oh
part of
yeah,
your career
sorry.
so
I
far?
forgot. The whole reason I was telling you that is because when I went into that, it informed my experience of what I studied on social media. So sorry, I lost the train of
No,
thought.
it's no
Thank you
problem.
for
It's no
bringing me
problem.
back.
It's
But
no
yeah,
problem.
so basically around that same time is when Left Book was exploding,
Right.
right? So I was already on there, and it was hilarious because I had already like the years prior learned everything about like the critique of both like the entire colonial capitalist system. And
Right.
then it just like fucked me over royally. Now it's like, oh, I'm gonna learn everything I possibly can about this. And then I noticed like, wow, there's a whole like massive, awesome radicalizing campaign that's going on, showing people like how horrible both of these parties are. And I
Right.
need people to understand, because at the time, everyone in my field was studying like the alt-right that was emerging. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right, right.
So
Even I
literally
was
like,
studying the alt-right.
it's,
Even, you
yeah,
know, I mean,
understandably,
right,
somebody
because
needed
that's
to.
right.
Yeah. And so it was like, and it was hilarious because I was like, okay, so out of one side of their mouth, everyone in my field was like, oh, we have to study the way that these like basically baby Yahtzees are using memes. And I'm like, okay, but like, are we also not going to study the way that the left is using memes? Because like
Right.
at the and they're falling into the same like horrible like miseducation and disinformation campaign that we were talking about yesterday, where like they're equating liberal memes with leftist memes. And I'm
Right.
like,
And
I see that this is not the same. Like,
that's so perfect, you know,
yeah.
because that's exactly what I was doing. So in a way, you've had to have interacted or studied me in the past because I
I
mean,
know
especially
probably.
20, 2019, 2020, we were
Yep.
doing, you know, an average of 10, 20 million. And then for
Yeah.
2021 through 2023, I was averaging anywhere from 50 to 80 million reach a month.
Yeah,
So,
for sure.
you know, just with all types of blasts of content.
Yeah.
So, that's what is very interesting about what I'm seeing about this TikTok algorithm and things like that is
Exactly.
that, it's bringing such like-minded people together and people that,
100%.
yeah, potentially have either interacted or have been in close proximity before that they may have not realized. I mean, just with this Liquidate the Billionaires movement, we've gotten 16,000 sick left radicals already on TikTok in just a couple of weeks of us pushing this core messaging.
Yeah, that's
And the
incredible.
messaging shift on Facebook, because you know we're really up in the rhetoric now, because to match the environment that we're in,
Totally.
and the response on Facebook is insane and stuff like that too. And so, I mean, that's why we're trying to push to all mediums. I'm going to be trying to figure out how to get this published on Spotify here in a little while. So, I mean, that's just it's, and for you to be able to study and quantify, you know, because I've been sort of doing something like that behind the scenes, trying to gauge how, oh, thank you, I appreciate that. To gauge how viral our content is and things like that. So for you also to be doing it on an academic level, I mean, it really just, chef's kiss, you know.
I know that's why I really, and I love that you bring up TikTok, to be honest, because everything that I argue in that first article, which like I said, it was published in 2019, I submit it to the Media Ecology Association, which is like the major media ecology like convention that
Right.
happens each year. I won their top convention paper. because nobody else was doing this and I hadn't seen it. So like literally
Yeah,
I was immediately
novel
like,
approach.
exactly. And but here's the thing, ever since it's only become truer, as we both know. And the thing is like people are still focusing on just the negative. And I'm like, okay, like don't get me wrong, we gotta look at for better and for worse the way that these technologies are altering our environments. And then I did move into the TikTok scene for the exact same reason. And I everything that we just said has only become truer and truer. Like I was
Correct.
actually in my dissertation, like I basically studied like relationships, but like specifically the way technology has altered them in like the
Right.
broadest sense, and like specifically the way that like violences of our culture, dehumanizations, and like all types of systemic oppression are like causing the loneliness epidemic, the what they've called the sex apocalypse, which is like like the end of sex.
Yeah.
They're claiming
Yeah.
people are having less sex than
Yeah,
ever before.
that's just like a right wing, propaganda campaign, which to it's funny that you bring that up because as someone who operates, I have to go into the far right a lot, not only to consume their propaganda to know our enemy, but to in ways to try to pull converts. And I've been hearing a lot of mantra lately, which before the election, the Project 2025 thing they were talking about ending divorce, I've been hearing so many conservatives. I was literally just on live with one yesterday. He's got millions of followers. He's a black conservative, and he was sitting there saying he wanted to end marriage. I mean, end divorce. That marriage is
Oh,
for life,
please.
and that marriage can occur under the age of 18 with parental consent, and that
Ooh.
marriage is for life. And I'm sitting there like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard, and he's like, will you take a vow, blah blah blah. I was like, yes, but like life changes, and yeah, like you're in it for the
Literally.
long haul and stuff, but at the same time, like 50% ended. And he's like, yeah, that's because things, we've gotten church out of it. And they was like, it should have never been
Oh,
a government
no.
thing. And I'm like, dude, this is insane that you want people to be shackled together for life with and the man be the dominant person in the house. Like that is, they're literally trying to drag us back to a time. And it's very scary. I could not imagine being an independent woman out here in these streets. I mean,
No facts.
if that's not scary enough, with all these people, trying to get at you already, now you have them literally trying to institutionalize your oppression once more. But no. So to get on into your book publication, you said that you had published, you had a publication that corresponded with the pending TikTok ban.
Yeah, you bet. So I published it, and actually that's like what you just said, like is a perfect segue into like everything I cover, because the whole reason I published this book actually by the day that TikTok was supposed to be banned last, like January 19th, 2025, is
Right.
because I got reached out to by a editor at a publication I won't say, just because I don't know what's
No,
going on with
that's
you
fine. You don't
guys.
need to use any names or anything. You have enough credibility for our
Literally.
audience to be able to operate and without,
Well, oh, I mean it in the sense of like, I don't know, copyright and stuff. But yeah, anyway, it's funny. So they reached out to me. They were like, hey, I really like this article you wrote, like providing us this framework of critical media ecology. Do you want to make it a book? And I was like, yeah, I've been meaning to do that for 2 years.
Just
Oh,
very quickly,
yeah, go
I'm
ahead.
sorry. You have like a clicking, which I imagine is like a fidget type
Oh, yeah,
thing.
I'm sorry. You bet.
It's
Yeah.
no problem.
Yeah, no,
I
I can set it
just
down.
I you don't have to set it down. If you could just try a little to keep it away from the mic. I understand that you
Yeah, that
probably
makes
do,
sense.
you're a little anxious,
Yeah.
so I understand you
Oh,
need
this
it,
is
and
just my
it's
stimming. Like,
yeah,
it's just like
it's
the way that I exist. Yeah. No, it's
yeah,
okay
it's
though. I
no
can do without
problem
it.
though. I just want to try to keep it like away from the mic if you can,
Of
like I
course.
said though, you can still do it. I know,
I
trust me,
got
I
you.
have my
Yeah.
own tics and stuff too. I
For
don't I want
sure.
to make space
Yeah.
for
Get
you
your
by all
fishes out.
means.
No, that I appreciate
Absolutely.
you. And
It's no
I want to make
problem.
sure the sound is good, so it's valid. But yeah. This is to say the basically the publication is an expansion from my dissertation.
Right.
So, and it combines everything that we just spoke about, because
Right, and
like I said,
so
all my work
the
is
thesis,
saying,
I'm sorry, what's the through line thesis of your dissertation? So,
sure. So I look at like sociosexual violence and the way that technology influences it, but in a really broad
Yes.
sense. Because when I'm
Yeah.
talking about it, I'm talking about it in a way that people often don't speak to. Like they speak to, because of the way education is so specialized, like
Right.
in these certain like silos, what we see more times than not is when people are talking about sexual violence, they're just talking about the violence itself that goes on, whether that's domestic violence or any other type of like relational or like, you know, just like any kinds of other horrific violence that can go on that is like of the sexual nature. And when I'm talking about it in the sense of the United States has miseducated and disinformed us since the nation's origin. And the education system itself, whether that's the lack of comprehensive sex education, because ultimately everything that you just mentioned about that creator is born from a lack of proper sex education. Because and it's this, and those issues, people often forget. The same reason why parents often are not willing to allow like their children or like other people to teach their children about proper like comprehensive sex ed is the same reason why parents don't talk about race, because they've not been properly sexually educated or racially educated themselves.
And to cut in very fast, just to add that that creator also said yesterday that people shouldn't be having schmecks before marriage, you know? And I'm sitting there like, dude, what is going on? So like,
it's all so the crazy. Same.
It is.
Yeah,
so continue.
It's always together. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it goes back to truly like this very like repressive binary and ultimately like whiteness construct of the US, because like people have like a very like limited idea of who is allowed to be fully human, which means who is allowed to be fully embodied and who is allowed to be a full agent in their existence.
And fundamentally, fundamentally, you know, the fact that we have a problem with humanity in this country comes from the fact that it was founded on a three-fifths compromise.
Exactly.
You know, without women having any say in anything that was going on, you know, without the recognition that indigenous people had a right to exist in the constant, you know, we were active belligerents against them. And so really is, it's just a perpetual, you know, it's the continuation of that.
Exactly. And everything that we see to this day is a product of that. And it becomes very clear if you understand the way that things have been built. But unfortunately, because of the way education is, and especially now with all of the like overtly fascist censorship that we're seeing, they're doing everything they possibly can to ensure that people don't know that. Because when you know that, it becomes abundantly clear how things have been done, why we are like this, and what we can do about it. And they don't want people. And it's the same reason why they attempted to ban TikTok. It's the same reason why they shadow ban anyone that is a overt leftist creator or anyone black or brown. And that's been very well documented, despite the fact that folks have tried to claim that it's like made up or people are just
I've lived it every day. I just experienced it this morning when I posted one of the videos talking about, you know, how I said a certain billionaire's funding us. It was being satire, of course. And it pinged me and said, I'm not recommendable. And I'm like, dude, Fox News is literally running this right now. They're literally like, like the governor of a state. I just saw the governor of a state blame a certain billionaire for an election being lost in their, in their state. And it's like, how can these people say this and y'all push it? And I make fun of it and I'm getting, you know, silenced. That is insane, you know?
Exactly. And it goes exactly back to like the heart of like what I talk about. Because in the book itself, what I do is I say, okay, why are we like this? Because we're treating ourselves and the society like a machine. And that in itself has been, again, very well documented by theorists. We're basically over a very long period of time, incrementalism put in place where like small changes were implemented to replace the heart with the mind, and emotions with logic, and the body with the mind. And it's been implemented in quite literally every field that you can imagine, but also like every institution. So the same reason why the specialists to this day are like reinforcing problematic ideas is because the education itself is a human created bias media, born from largely in our lifetime, the idea of neoliberalism, right? So like, obviously, like a basic idea of that for anyone that may or may not be familiar. It's a philosophic and economic model that was put in place in the 70s and really, really popularized by Reagan in the 80s. And what it did is it corporatized, it privatized, and it deregulated everything. And so in my book, what I do is I say, okay, we have this initial like country that was built on genocide and destruction of indigenous land. It was stolen. Here's how they dehumanize them. Here's the logics and practices of manifest destiny that were implemented to make sure that only this very limited archetype of white, this man that owns land, was deemed fully human and fully citizen. Here's the consequence of what that is when we understand the way that hundreds of years of industrialism was stacked on top of that rotten foundation. here's the consequence of neoliberalism and a late stage capitalist like society that was built even like 80 years ago that we are seeing that has taken all those initial very like quote unquote rational colonial ideas, innovative, optimized,
yeah, look, like, I just want to make sure that you are appropriately plugged here. So if you could give us your book title.
Yeah, it's called We Are Fucking Machines, Why We Are Like This and What We Can Do About It.
So We Are Fucking Machines, Why Are We Like This?
I know, it's funny. I actually initially and was going to call it that.
What can we do about it?
But it's called Why We Are Like This. I always almost say it that way too.
Why we are like this.
Exactly. Yep.
I understand. It makes sense when you really break it down like that. So again, we are fucking machines. Why we are like
exactly.
This.
Yep.
And what can we do?
Oh, and what we can do about it.
And what we can do about it.
Yep.
By Dr. Bernadette Bowen.
Yeah. I always have Bird in there too because it's my lifelong name.
Yeah, how did Dr. Bird? Yeah. Very fast. You don't have to just very fast. Or actually, no, we'll get to that at the end. You can get right back into the. I like this nitty-gritty nuance, so let's go right back.
No, of course. But yeah, thank you for that. But yeah, so anyway, like I said, neoliberalism, what it did is it took the already hyper rational, allegedly rational, like I said, that means the replacing the heart with the mind, replacing emotions with logic, disembodied, like pulling us closer and closer to machine-like existence is really
correct.
What I'm saying. What it did is it made that hyper-irrational. There's a lot of work by a theorist named George Ritzer. He's got this term called McDonaldization. So
McDonaldization. I love
literally.
That. That's a very uniquely American.
Awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was from 1993. So this is like something that was like, I was 3 years old when this was put in place. So like, I'm not just making this shit up. You know what I mean?
And
what it did is it basically pulled like the like already irrational existence into hyper irrationality, and it bled into all spheres of our lives. Okay. So all I've really done in this book that the original publisher and editor that reached out to me said would have been too much information to cover because in a specialized society, you can't talk about all these things in one book. You have to have this topic that they see as connected and then this topic. So literally when I pitched the original book, which again, I'll get into in just a second, they told me this can't be one book. You have to do two books. And I said, no, actually, fuck that. I'll publish it myself. So I did. And, but yeah, so the thing is what I cover, what they said would be too disconnected.
Yeah, they don't understand the intersectionalism that's occurring.
Literally.
You know?
Yeah,
that's...
and the way that, and I was like, no, these things are connected. The entire purpose of my ecological discussion is to point out that they're connected. If you don't see that, it's not your book to write. It's my book to write.
Right, exactly. From a science perspective, you know, as a chemist,
it's like,
all right, we have chemistry and biology. You can't publish this biochemistry book.
Yeah,
you have to
ridiculous.
Do two. It's the most ridiculous. Right, you know, these
literally.
People are just in it for money. They have
no
concept of what really is creation. You know,
exactly. And you got to understand. And we hadn't talked about this, but and okay, I guess I'll pause because I'll talk about it once I talk about that chapter. But in the book, I talk about everything I just said.
Yeah.
Then I talk about the environmental consequences of that.
Yeah.
The way, because I basically describe the way that we've come to understand education, the way that everything is, it has been built with a limited intelligence. That's
correct.
What I say.
Very, and it's exactly a very limited intelligence.
Exactly.
At the time
so
that
what,
it was built.
100%. And it remains that way, but it's like so taken for granted because the limited intelligence has been sold to us as alleged objectivity. It's been sold to us as alleged universally useful to us ideas.
Correct.
And it's never that way. Like, and we know that. We know that critical cultural studies has shown us that's not remotely true. So anyway, what I go on in the book to do is I show here's the limited intelligence built into the environment. Here's the limited intelligence built into our relational intelligence. Here's the limited intelligence built into the algorithmic age. And what I've done and what I was getting to before is I have called the environment that's existed since COVID started the environment. Okay.
Yes.
So, because I love a good pun. So it's the word virus included with environment to describe the era since COVID started, basically. So what I talk about is COVID as a disability rights issue, but also the same reason why I became disillusioned with academia.
Yes.
So, because what I did is I'd been following that research since like looking at TikTok and seeing how much it's changed our lives, the massive realizations, the connection that's brought us together, like we were talking about earlier, of like people that have these like really eerily similar lived experiences, whether
Yes.
that's late in life realized autistic people, whether that's leftists, whether
Yes.
that's people that just like care about our liberation. These platforms have allowed us to have that, and it's often like dismissed as if it's not genuinely changing people's lives. COVID
Yes.
isolation, COVID's devastation, COVID's massive impact on our lives has changed everything about the way that we come to
I
understand ourselves,
yes.
the way that we relate to others, the way that we understand community.
I would
And
say that single event was probably the most radicalizing event for me in my
Absolutely.
entire life. It wasn't even the growing up in abject poverty. It was the isolation and but at the same time the hyperconnectivity that we had online.
Exactly.
Where essentially, because I developed a couple of Facebook groups and like my first one blew up to like 40,000 people in just 2 months. And that's what made me realize like, wait a minute. And it was just like, it started as a joke group, you know, it was just for joking. And that's what made me realize like, wow, this is actually something, this is fire. Like we're playing with fire
Exactly.
right now. This is a fun, this is going to be
Literally.
a fun time, you know?
Exactly. And for you to see that because of the experience you already had from Left Book, it's like, of course you did. Like,
Right.
and it's like the thing is I like as soon as I saw that, I was like, wow, this has changed my life, because I posted like a random quiz of like my own experience as being a late in life realized autistic person. I
Yes.
posted that in like November 2022. It exploded. And ever
Yes.
since I've been growing my platform until like 2 years ago, when I started talking about the workers' actors' strikes more overtly and the genocide in Palestine, and I've been shadow banned like deeply ever since and cannot escape. But yeah, literally, like it cannot be understated that we are in the most connected era in human history, and it's
Correct.
something where like the power of that is immense. Hence why ever since, you know, and it's funny because I actually originally joined TikTok because Trump threatened to ban it in 2020.
That's
And
funny.
that's why I joined it, because I was like, if he was going to try to ban it, you know that
That
it's
must
done.
be,
Like,
yeah, must be right, exactly.
literally. So that's what even brought me here. And then like 2 years later, I'd meet all these amazing people that changed my concept of myself. It allowed me to develop my voice post like being on that other all audio app Clubhouse that we talked about the other day too.
Yes,
It's
yes.
basically just Twitter Spaces before
Yeah,
Twitter
no,
Spaces existed.
right.
Okay,
Elon
for
ripped
sure.
it. He's no innovator,
Exactly.
trust. Hey,
No,
trust.
100%. Yeah, of course. But yeah, so this is to say, like, the way that COVID has altered, especially brought to the forefront, the way that we treat humanity and the way that we obviously, in that, a mistreatment on a deep sense because of the way that
Yes.
eugenics is built into our culture, which is
Correct.
racisms, it's ableisms, it's classisms, it's
Supremacy,
cis-heterosexisms.
absolutely.
Exactly. All types of supremacy is really, truly any discrimination related to the body. It forms our ideas of what is health, what is disorder, what is
Yes.
allowed to be like heard, who again, it all harkens back to the original rotten foundation of who's been seen
Correct.
fully human, who's been dehumanized, and how we come to understand that, and the way that those biases, those very human decisions, have been built into everything that exists
Correct.
to this day. And so watching, oh, go ahead.
I love the picture you're painting, you know, because
Thank
fundamentally,
you.
from an academic level, you are providing what I would say is some of the core and fundamental research. I haven't read your book yet, but I'm about to get in the audiobook and I have my 12-hour shifts this week. So by the time I'm done with 36 hours of 12-hour shifts, you know, I'll probably be done with that book. But
So my first two books are on audiobook. I still got to record this one in audiobook, but as soon as
okay.
it comes,
Oh,
I'll
but
let you
it's
know.
paper. It's paperback though. Oh, well,
So I have
okay.
an
Well, then I'll buy
ebook.
that.
I got it on paperback and
Yeah, well then, yeah, I'll go ahead and buy it and I'll still hammer through it.
Sweet.
But
Fair.
essentially, you know, you are providing the academic justification for our liquidate the billionaires movement, you know. Essentially, and it's funny because we're getting to the same conclusion from completely different paths. And with that, it shows the fundamental root, like you said, the rotten foundation is this capitalist system that we are forced. You know, they love to say that it's a choice, but we are forced through the
Literally.
coercion of starvation and homelessness to participate, and we have no other options. They have propagandized and coup d'etat every other option that we've had available. And so it just, you really are distilling that the billionaires are the ones who dehumanize us. The billionaires are the ones who are active belligerents against us. And I believe that just from our discussion and from the, like I said, the picture that you're painting here, your academic research lends credence to the fact that there is no liberation until the billionaires are liquidated. And it's not some, we're not advocating for
It's not
felony offense
hyperbole.
here.
It's
No,
a fact.
this is exactly
Literally.
it. The assets must be liquidated and flowing through society in a way. And we'll focus on America because we're America first. We can save the world after we save America. But fundamentally, the assets have to flow to the people in a way that we can bolster our own communities. We do not need the billionaires coming in to extract our wealth. And that's part of the fundamental problem of, again, like you said, the core development of our entire system was built on that dehumanization. And now, with the advanced technology that we have, it is happening on such a scale. I mean, majority of our interactions aren't even monitored by people. It's all AI. Everything is
No,
AI now.
exactly.
And so you have these robots and these black boxes making decisions about people's lives. You have these robots in black boxes all like radicalizing people. And just as you said, you've witnessed it. I've witnessed it. I see it on the right every day. And so that's why I've chosen to use that black box for us, because we have to radicalize these people too. We have to try to save ourselves
No
and come
facts.
together and liberate the food. I mean, we have to liberate the food,
No, that's a fact. Well, and actually, that's a perfect segue into what I was just thinking too. Like, so, because when we talk about the billionaire class, what most people don't understand, because again, miseducation, disinformation deliberately, is that my mentor, my master's, his name is Dr. Lee Arts. He spent his life learning about neoliberalism and documenting it as he lived it. And he had instilled in me this knowledge about this what the oligarchy actually is, like who they actually are, and the fact that they've been in place, obviously, arguably, if not since the nation's origin and ancestors, but also specifically, they're called the transnational capitalist class, because at the same time that neoliberals were put in place and or neoliberalism was put in place and neoliberals were ushered in, it's the same point at which globalization took off. So like, and people, it's like easy for people again to like, especially our age, I think, it's like impossible for us to conceptualize a world before the 90s, let alone like, oh, and everything changed like right before we were born. Like globalization was ushered in. The global South had already obviously already been deliberately disenfranchised forever. And then it was just like connected, and the capitalists decided that anyone assigned female birth or anyone black or brown was allowed to then be treated horribly in a system that would pay them next to nothing, because before the care work was just pushed onto anyone in that position anyway. And they were like, okay, we'll allow you to get education, and we'll
Yeah,
allow you to
and a little
enter the
teen.
job,
Yeah, we'll give you a
literally,
little
like,
teen.
yeah, like, because they knew that we were cheap labor. So they were like, okay, we'll allow you in because we're globalizing and we need a larger workforce. Like, so, but this is to say that influenced, because again, neoliberalism, it deregulated, it privatized, it corporatized. It did that over a very long period of time, the last 80
Absolutely.
years.
I
And
mean,
people
no,
are,
even farther, because
yeah,
the
100%.
exploitation has been innovating.
Yeah,
I mean, since the very beginning, if we just look at the
exactly.
through line of America, the innovation, founded on cheap labor, slave labor,
Yeah.
the innovation into sharecropping, and then from sharecropping, the innovation into the mortgage, into
Yeah.
the debt using debt leverage debt to acquire assets. What is a
Exactly.
mortgage? All they have done is
Yeah.
they have taken sharecropping, they have
Yeah.
stripped the plantation, and they have given us the mortgage. I mean, come on now. This is on a fundamental level, it is the exact same concept.
Yeah.
We're working in the company store. We can only purchase from the company. It's a rigged system,
100%, yeah. And they'll pretend, like I said, that's how it works, right? Like, because they use ideas of objectivity, they use ideas of neutrality, they weaponize these rhetorics as if they are neutral, when we know, matter of factly, if you understand a through line, that these rhetorics are deeply biased, deeply harmful to us, and quite literally are destroying the planet. Like, because that's really what I'm getting at when I'm talking about it's ironic that only when Biden was on his way out did he admit that there's been an oligarchy forever. Like,
Correct.
like, so I'm like,
Correct.
wow, like they'll point it out when we're talking about social media owners. They'll point it
Right.
out like in this era, but like we've known and I've been saying and been treated as if I'm a conspiracy theorist when I'm a literal
Correct.
like PhD holder who has like followed the lifetimes of work of many critical scholars before me. Like for them to equate the very factual nature of a neoliberal transnational capitalist class with a conspiracy theory is ridiculous. Like, but they,
Correct.
Again, it's a part of the propaganda system. And like you said, the deregulation of that before, I know you, the deregulation of that is why the food system is the way that it is as well. And I talk about that in
Correct.
chapter two as well, because it relates to the way that the mass like food contamination, that's a result of the massive deregulation that's gone on since the
Correct,
80s.
correct.
Like, and you can point to quite literally any industry and see that, whether it's trains,
Absolutely.
Whether it's planes, whether it's the, like, I mean, every ecological devastation that we've seen in the last few years is a result of this deregulation and inherent colonial capitalist logic and practice.
Right, because ultimately it is the profit motive, you know?
Yeah.
They reduce the quality of the product because more
Mm-hmm.
profit needs to be returned to the shareholders. And so fundamentally,
Yeah.
everything is always going to get worse because the shareholders need more. And so you cannot provide a quality product by, you know, and people would argue, oh, well, that's capitalism. Things get worse and then new companies come. But that's not what we're living under, because these new companies come and then they get acquired and then they're gobbled up and they don't even get to come to market anymore. You have entire pharmaceutical revolutionary ideas captured and bottled away because there's no money in curing anything. We want to treat it. And like you said, it makes us sound like conspiracy theorists. And look, Joe Biden, we'll be honest. We'll operate in good faith here. Joe Biden's not an oligarch. He's not really that rich. A few million over
No,
that,
he isn't.
you know, he's not. But it was a disservice for him to not be completely anti-oligarchy the whole time. But to be fair, he was a centrist president. We could even argue center right. We could easily argue
no,
center
facts.
right.
Yeah.
But even though some progressive things happen, it's whatever. And so it makes sense for him to not do it because the billionaires funded him. And so you cannot bite the hand that feeds you. We know this, but I do want to give him what little credit we can for him to say it on the way out the door. I would say
true.
In some ways like Eisenhower, because Eisenhower as a top general, you know, was one of the main beneficiaries of the military industrial complex at that time. And so for him on the way out of the door to warn about it, I think was very interesting. And I would also agree. I mean, I would also argue that right now we're witnessing a page turn in history with the way that Donald Trump is operating, that we are seeing a shift from the military industrial complex into the outright oligarchy. Because even with the military industrial complex, it was an oligarchy in some sense, but it was for a different type of natural resource. But now we're getting into a point where we're getting into some very fundamental eugenics types things and just the outright plundering of everything that can be plundered in the imperialistic lust to go and acquire new land. You know, America has not legitimately acquired, you know, it's of course not legitimate, but you know what I mean. This is America. So America has not tasted new land in far too long.
The bloodlust.
We must spread ourselves
satiated.
Across the world. We must spread freedom, you know.
Yeah.
So America has not tasted conquest in far too long. And that's why we want to go to Greenland, you know. And then you also have these South Africans, you know, who grew up under apartheid, fantasizing about going to some, you know, ethnically homogenous place to create their utopia, their tech utopia. And then not only that, but the full deregulation of in the minimization of the federal government, they're arguing it goes back to the states. But when you put it to the states, these companies, some of these companies make more money than some of these states. And so,
no
like,
facts. Yeah.
That's why we have a federal government. Our federal government is to, I had a conservative yesterday on live, and we distilled that the federal government's job is to defend against belligerents and provide infrastructure to the people to be prosperous. That's the only job of the federal government, correct? Defend against
for the most part,
belligerents.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know, that's a very distilled version. Now we can interpret what that is because I interpret that the billionaires are active belligerents against the American people,
No,
especially
it's
for
true.
billionaires to come jump over the fence and come from South Africa. You know, these billionaires crossing the border coming from South Africa, they are active belligerents against us. They are attacking the American people. And so that is what the federal government should be focused on, is liquidating these fools and making sure that there are no more salvos launched on American lives.
Yeah, without a doubt. I know it's very ironic, like when we get into, because most of the time when people think about the oligarchy, they do presume, besides Elon, I feel like for the most part, they presume that they're like born and raised Americans, but like we know that like it is because of globalization, like a larger international issue. So it's like it begins to make sense why Elon believes he can just stick his grubby little fingers into quite literally any nation and start like raising a fucking Nazi salute because he
That's
believes
exactly
that
it.
he's above the law. Like
That's
it's
exactly it.
truly,
No, well,
yeah, and
not
it's
only
like,
that, but fundamentally, he grew up in an apartheid society. So he was already in an elevated class and he was wealthy. So they were already in an even higher elevated class. So his entire life, he has seen himself as above the people around him. So when he goes on stage in Wisconsin and says, "This is for humanity," you have to believe him because he is painting this as existential. He is painting this as he will not survive if he does not take these actions. And so we must match that energy. That is what I'm saying here. If he wants to say that he will not survive if he doesn't go to Wisconsin and make sure they vote Republican for the Supreme Court, then I am saying that we will not survive if he continues to attack us in this way. And when you paint this picture, the options become clear. You know,
No,
the options
absolutely.
become very limited. You know, we have tried decorum, we have tried ethics, we have tried the high road. We need to go as low as possible. We need to fight fire with fire because they do not stop.
No, absolutely.
Even if they take everything we have and we're starving in the streets, they will still keep coming. They will lock us up and put us in prisons and profit off of that. They will still keep coming, even when once they've taken everything. And so the terms of the agreement are clear. We are at war, and the billionaires are the belligerents.
And they'll call it meritocracy because they always do. Like, that's the thing about what you just said and what comes to mind. It's like they always will try to claim, well, I have what I have because I worked
I
harder.
earned
And
it.
it's like, yeah. And
No,
it's like,
you
no, you
stole
have,
it.
we know, yeah, we know that billionaires only exist because they steal the labor from the working
Correct.
class. Like, that's
You
very well
plundered.
documented.
You
Like,
are
and
nothing more than a pirate. You have plundered from
literally,
us. You dirty brigand.
literally, and to your point, like that's really like in the final chapter before I get into like the discussion section of the new book, I talk about the way that billionaires are investing like this year alone $200 billion into artificial intelligence, and in particular, like the overthrew argument of the book is we've grown increasingly mechanized, on top of the rotten foundation, and now we're flipping into a humanization of objects. So what
Correct.
we're seeing, and whether that is the humanoid intelligent AI sex robots that are being sold to us as
Sexrobot,
companions, whether that's biomimetic, whether that's biomimetic sex tech,
sexrobot,
right? Or whether that's, have you seen those ads? You probably have, that for AI artisans.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Speaking of ads, I have to cut in.
Yeah,
This
no, of
chat
course.
today is brought to you by Signal. If you have classified documentation, you know where to put it. That's right, Signal, the biggest, baddest app available to everyone on the market. Fist emoji, flag emoji, fire. So go ahead, you're
A
back
place
on,
for
Dr.
real humans to communicate. No, but seriously,
Bet.
like, I mean, honestly, the same reason why we would need an encrypted like software like Signal is the same reason why they're trying to replace humans with AI artisan
Correct.
workers. Because that's
Correct.
ultimately, that's what they, so, because all I talk about in that chapter in particular is the way that over time, because there it is profitable, it is allegedly most efficient, it is allegedly most data-driven and optimized, push
Correct.
us into a state in which we are most disassociated which we are most self-hating, which we are most violent to each other, which we are most
Correct.
incarcerated, which in any society, obviously, whether it's the military-industrial complex desensitization with the Palestine genocide that's been called a war, or whether that is
Correct.
the for-profit prison system. Like, it's all brought us to this point where now that colonial capitalist structure, IRU, has been pushed to its furthest most extreme, and it's flipping into its opposite, which is a humanizing of objects. Because what they're
Correct.
aiming to do is basically remove humanity from the equation of the society.
Correct.
Because
Which
if you
doesn't
think
make any
about it,
sense because, yeah,
no,
if
it's
they
ridiculous.
remove humanity, they're doing
It's
it all for
ridiculous.
profits. But then, like, what are
Literally.
we all to do while they're just sitting here circle jerking with their profits? Like,
Literally.
you
Well,
know,
and yeah.
I don't understand what they think's about to happen.
I
You know,
know.
like,
It's ridiculous.
what do you think we're
Literally.
going to? Do you think we're all just gonna be under the bridge singing Kumbaya? You're coming for everything we have. We're about to be sitting around
Literally.
making prayer beads. Like, come on, dog.
Yeah.
Y'all are cooked. We gave
No, I
y'all a
know.
chance. Y'all want to keep on coming. Y'all cooked, dog. Y'all done. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, it is the biggest joke because quite literally, this system by design destroys itself.
Absolutely.
And
And
it is like it is both like it is already very successfully destroyed our idea of ourselves. It's destroyed
absolutely.
us to the point because all individualism really does is it strips us of any uniqueness. It demands
Absolutely.
standardization, which is why, you know, that McDonaldization idea, that's really what it's speaking to. It's speaking
Yes.
to a copy and paste logic and practice, but it's also speaking to the influencers that all look the same, that are
Correct.
all, it's also
Well, I
speaking
mean,
to, like, you know.
Doc, they've even McDonald'ized Jesus Christ. I mean, come
Oh, yeah,
on. I
facts.
have people coming in here arguing with me saying that Jesus was some rugged individual. And I'm like,
Oh,
what
really?
the
Oh,
hell are you
no.
talking about? I'm sitting here like, dude, why don't you tell me how Jesus would have distributed that bread and fish profitably? Why don't you go
Right.
ahead and break that down for me, you know?
No, exactly.
Was he healing for profit? Was he having the disciples run freaking roughshod and deny claims? Like, come on now, dude. What are we talking about here? And whenever
Yeah.
I love the sick left radical label. We was talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
We have to co-opt their language and we have to own it
No
because if
facts.
you want to call us sick left radicals, then guess what? That's what we are. Because my
Yeah.
boy, I did not get my ideology from Karl Marx. I read Karl
Yeah.
Marx, sure, but Karl Marx literally ripped Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Dude, I'm radicalized by Jesus Christ. You
Yeah.
know, the dude literally said, feed poor people, take care of poor people. If you got a little bit, give a little bit. If you got a lot,
Yeah.
give a lot. That's what Jesus said. So, like, who am I? Who am I to say that I know better than Jesus? You know, like, I'm just
Yeah.
trying to be out here doing what the dude said to do. Like, we want to put him on the
Yeah.
cross. We want to have him in all these churches. We want to put him back in the state. Are you listening to what he said? Because if you put Jesus back in school, you're going to get a hell of a lot more communists.
Yeah.
You
Yeah,
know?
because it's like, yeah, people don't understand that like the way of life that we have isn't the only option. So they like don't understand that the way that we exist is so contrary to like their basis of morals that it
Correct.
fundamentally like it breaks their brain when they're shown the contradiction to the point that
Correct.
denialism has become the norm. That's honestly like one of the more pervading themes that I've noticed about like I said, the Envirosman era that I've talked about, because it truly like it doesn't make sense, like you were getting to before, of like how Elon thinks that like has he actually convinced himself that he's worked hard enough and that he has what he has because he earned it? Because
Yes,
he
he has. Absolutely.
the tech bros, they honestly sell him, like, other than being yes men, they like sell him this idea that like he is capable of colonizing Mars. They sell
Correct.
him this idea that he is
Correct.
capable of doing things that quite literally are impossible. Like
And
I
it's
coined a
all
term,
propaganda.
yeah, and I coined a term called uncashable future technological promises, which is like a really like
Yes.
wordy way of saying there's these
Propaganda.
rhetorics. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's this idea that like, you know, when you win the lottery and there's like that enormous fake check that they hand you to like so that you can like basically like pretend like, wow, look at the gravity of what I've won. Like it's that, but it's like being sold by venture capitalists to billionaires because, like you said
Correct.
before, I mean, we know Peter Fraser's idea of the four futures. Like we know that there's either like hypothetically abundance in capitalism. We know that there's scarcity in capitalism. We know that there is abundance and communism. We know that there's scarcity in communism, allegedly.
Correct.
But billionaires
Allegedly.
always forget, right?
It's all alleged, baby. It's all a propaganda
But like what they always fundamentally forget is, like you said, if they lock us all up, if they destroy the entire planet, where do they think they're going to go? They're
Yeah,
lying to
like,
themselves if they
right.
believe they can colonize Mars. That's
Right.
literally not
You think,
possible.
hey, you think
Like,
we're letting you get on that rocket and fly
it's
away with all of our
ridiculous.
wealth?
Like, yeah,
Nah, fam. We go
and
put
that's
you on
the
the rocket, but it's not gonna
thing.
be how you
Like,
think.
yeah, and it's like it's ridiculous because like they're fundamentally terrified because they see that we are in the most connected era in human history, which is
Correct.
why they shut TikTok off to like literally just like abuse us for like
Correct.
12 hours and then brought it back destroyed so that we
And
couldn't
look,
connect in the way that we used to.
you
Like,
brought up the lottery and whatnot, and so we're seeing
yeah.
Elon right now give out the Millie checks in
I know.
Wisconsin,
Yeah.
an
For
unsanctioned
voting.
lottery. And so, you know,
Yeah.
I just want to point out that's exactly what I'm about to be doing. I'm not going to be handing out no $1 million checks, but I'm literally up in the ante and I'm creating a leftist organization right now to start taking on contractors so that I can pay people
Yeah.
to live their lives and do whatever. I'm going to have standing orders every month that I need four pictures of a grocery basket with the receipt. So you can freaking take a picture of your groceries, send it to me. I'm a content creator. I'm gonna post your
Yeah.
groceries. I make money off your groceries. You're my contractor. I'm going to pay you for you doing this. Write that shit off. You know, I'm
No,
about to give
serious.
you, and it's
That's
not even
brilliant.
scamming. You, it's
No,
an
exactly, yeah.
unprofitable business, you know? Unfortunately, I can't take on shareholders because in America, the shareholders can sue you if you don't spend the money in the
Yeah.
most profitable way. So I
Yeah.
can't give y'all equity, but what I can give y'all is the money that I make from baiting these Elon simps and these freaking wannabe landlords and all of these
Yep.
freaking 1776 fetishizers. I'm just baiting them online. I'm making the money, and now I'm about to start sending out checks to my sick radical leftists because that's leftism. Like,
Yeah,
I
it's
never
mutual aid.
understood. It is in a way.
Yeah.
In a way, it is. I
Yeah.
never understood. I'm selling it as doing bad because we're making propaganda, but it's good. You know, we're helping people.
Propaganda can be good or bad, though.
It
But
can.
no.
It's all about how you use it, you know?
Exactly. And that's why I love that you use that way, because I see it. Like, yeah. But no, to your
Exactly.
point, this has never been a more important time for people to share their lived experience. So I love the idea of capturing the receipt of groceries, because not only obviously have they
And that's ex
destroyed our ability
yes.
to afford them,
Yes.
but yet, but
And
no,
I
yeah,
want Yes,
people
I
need to
want
do
the
that.
world to see. And that's why
Exactly.
I'm gonna have these standing orders, because
Yeah.
every week I'm going to post, this is American
Yeah.
lives right here. So tally this shit up, billionaires,
Yeah.
because when
Yeah.
you make this earning call and you say you got this pricing power and these shareholders are getting these mega yachts, I'm posting the
Yeah.
receipts. So you know when we come, it's your fault. It's your fault.
No,
You got
absolutely.
online and you bragged about what you was gonna do to us. You got online and you bragged that you was robbing us. Like, you know what I mean? So think about this. I'm a rapper, okay? I'm a rapper. All right. I live a tough life. I'm in here rapping about these streets. And another rapper is bragging about how he's robbing me. All right.
Yeah.
He's bragging about how he's come and take everything I got. What am I gonna do? You know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get on the beat and I'm gonna make a track. I'm gonna spit some hot fire all over Tesla's, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like people forget that the way that the society was built is it allows us to look to what's going on to this day and understand that everything needs to change. Like,
Correct.
fundamentally, like, there's no way, and it's funny because that's what I mean. That's why I've been over even just before we happened to run into each other. Like over the last week, especially, I've been like, okay, how can I actually like best utilize my lived experience and like show people that like, hi, I was born into these systems of white supremacy and cis-heterosexism and ableism, and like there are ways that our lived experience, whether we're like reproducing those discriminations or whether we are benefiting like from them or like to their detriment, like these things are like what we need to share, because even if like you think that you like didn't experience those things, your life will show you otherwise. Like
Correct.
it's something where Like, we need to look to our lived experiences and talk about them. And Red Note, like you were getting at with the grocery receipts, Red Note did that in a different way too. Like, because I don't know if you shifted to Red Note at all, like the day that TikTok was supposed to be banned.
No.
People, there was this explosion of consciousness, honestly, over even the course of like 72
about how
hours.
How much things costed in the different places.
Exactly. It's stuff like that where, like, because we've been so deliberately, despite globalization connecting us, we still in these platforms, owned by different like
dynamic pricing
interests. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that. That's the kind, surge pricing, that kind of shit. Like, these are the kinds of things where, like, when you talk to someone from like the opposite side of the world, it becomes abundantly clear. Or even just anyone, in any other country, it becomes abundantly clear that we are being fucked over to the fullest extent of the law.
Exactly. and you know, that's exactly why I'm like, fuck it. I'm about to start getting wild. I'm about to legit start contracting my sick radical leftist and pay for their groceries. I'm literally going to try to pay for these people. Even if I can't send you the money to pay for your groceries, guess what? Uncle Sam got you on the flip, baby. Because all you got to do, you are my contractor now. All right. Mm-hmm. And all I have to do is send you a 1099 at the end of the year. Here's the amount I paid you for content. That's all I have to put. And I just have to publish the shit you send me. I make however much money I make off of it. And that's the beautiful thing about it. I can literally put hundreds of pictures in a single post. And even if I make one penny off of it, actually, technically, I don't have to make anything off of it just because I make any money in the year. It's like, so that I'm tapping into this because everyone can't be a content creator, but everyone is living the life that I need to know about. Everyone is getting the data. And in a world with dynamic pricing, in a world in which these billionaires are trying to rob us, this is the beginning of our defense mechanism to show, hey, look, this is how much things are supposed to cost. Your pricing power does not exist. Your pricing power is called theft. You are stealing from us. That is our money. You're sailing around in a mega yacht. That is our money. So that is why we are coming to liquidate you, because this is an act of repossession. It is our money. We have subsidized your lifestyle and we want it back, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And people forget that everything that exists is a human decision. They forget it all the time. They forget, as one of my favorite mutuals on this app also always says, Christiana, but shout out if you end up listening to this, but like, they're always talking about how we're living in some old white guy's imagination. Like, and that's something that, like, ultimately, like, I talk about in all my work as well. Because, like I said, there was an earlier mention that I said I was going to go back to. So, like, the same reason why the hashtag MeToo campaign exploded on social media. And what, because that's where I talk about why I work for the Democratic Party, because it was around that same time.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why that blew up and so resonated so deeply with millions of people is because of, like, it is undeniable. Like, the violence that we experience is going to be expressed. And whether or not these companies are owned by billionaires, which we know that they are, like, that's obviously, like, whether they are, it doesn't negate the power that we have. And people need to remember that. Like, they really do. No matter how much these fascists destroy the US government, it doesn't change the fact that it can be changed again. Like,
correct.
It doesn't change the fact that we have so much power in doing what we can and, like, truly just navigating around the barriers that they will put up, because we've always had to do it. Our ancestors have done that forever. You know what I mean? Like, my ancestors are Roma. Like, so we literally escaped, like, a part of the world where, like, the Nazis were going to probably destroy us the first time. Like, they came here and, like, 1918. And so it's very much like, I can't help but notice everything is just repeating itself. And whether it's the makeup of borders, which I don't respect at all as an ancestor, like, my ancestors would, like, hate me if I, like, respected the colonial idea of about, like, a border, because we have no land. We were I don't know how much you know about Roma or Romani people.
They're, you know, like, nomadic type
internationally
people,
hated. Exactly. Yeah. Like, we're hated internationally. And
I'm trying
we
to
were
be careful
quite
not
literally...
to use any slurs from any words that I know about them, because, you know, that's the only things I know. You know, I only know the propaganda that is colonized my brain.
So, and that's another funny thing, actually. So my mom and I, like, we always use the word gypsy endearingly, if I'm honest. So I actually didn't even know Like, again, because of the same reason my ancestors escaped and assimilated into whiteness is the same reason I didn't know about my own culture. Like, right. Until, like, literally, like, the environment era as well.
I love so, what you just said there. Assimilated into whiteness, because that's exactly what so many European immigrants and things like that have strived to do, especially in America, because there was no construct of whiteness until America existed.
Exactly. And people don't realize that. Like, and it all it did is it literally destroyed our rich cultural heritages. Like, and this is a moment where I'm seeing more people that would be deemed white than ever before actually, like, attempting to learn about our ethnicities and our own cultures. What's what's difficult when it comes to Roma people that I think is eye-opening and can be kind of, like, leveraged for folks that have differing backgrounds is, like, because we have always been landless for the most part, besides, like, leaving, like, different other colonial named nations. Like, obviously what is considered India is a colonial word, so I would really, like, like, for the longest time they called us gypsies because they thought we came from Egypt, like,
that's hilarious. I never knew that.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, and they, it spun off into these, all of these xenophobic tropes, and, like, it's hilarious because, like, hilarious in a really, like, tragic way that no one should laugh at. Like, I'm laughing at it because it's like, obviously,
humor.
The
it's to laugh to stop from crying.
Exactly.
You like, know, it's the tism. We both got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know?
It's funny because I was gonna say that, but I was like,
"No way!" It's definitely that's the only reason we laugh at things like this, because, like,
well,
you know.
Yeah, because what choice do you have? I mean, and that's the thing. My ancestors, the more that I learned about the way that, like, we had to hide, because, okay, get this. I thought that half of my family was Irish because my dad's dad, he was an orphan and he was put on a boat because he, like, his mom was, like, I think as far as I can tell from, like, at least, like, my heritage and, like, different archival documents, she had him, like, out of wedlock, which obviously was not allowed, but they came from Czechoslovakia. And half the other half of my family, like, they literally changed their name from, like, an overtly Roma name to hide, because that's, like, what my ancestors had to do to escape, because there was already so much anti-Roma rhetoric and so much. I mean, we were in the Holocaust, and people often don't talk about that, just like they often don't talk about disabled people. Like, this is, and so whether it's the landlessness that can be both, like, an understand for better and for worse, the way that borders do not serve us, and the idea that, like, a border itself is something that is a colonial construct meant to, like, divide us and conquer us, or whether it's, like, and don't get me wrong, obviously you can have like, respect and ownership and sovereignty of the land. Like, that's not what
in some capacity, sure. Yeah, we'll operate under that premise for now.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, but whether that can be useful for people to reflect on their own experience, or whether it's the way that the Roma people, because we are the largest diaspora, like, we are the, like, the most, so, but many of us don't even know, because of the way that we've had to hide, because the way that my ancestors coped with what was experienced is we just didn't talk about it, or we erased it. And because it's such a closed community for reasons to retain the heart of what the culture is, like, there was always this, like, immense bastardization that, like, was just so salient internationally that, like, literally we were like, okay, you said that we're that, well, then not fucking, I guess.
Right. It's funny. It's funny that you say that, because, so one thing from my lived experience and figuring out a little bit of my ancestry, and just to say, like you said, so many people who've assimilated into whiteness are now seeking out some more of their cultural roots. And I think we see that in the high usage of these DNA testing kits and whatnot, because people want to know, because we've taken it and we've whitewashed everything, so everything's just white now. And it's like, well, what, I'm Irish or Welsh or whatever, and that's why they're like, oh, I'm 30% whatever, you know.
But exactly,
so something interesting about my life and whatnot, so I'm half black, half white, and one day I was talking to my neighbor. My neighbor happened to be one of the largest sugarcane farmers in our area. And and we were discussing it. And so his family farm, he's fifth or sixth generation. His family farm started in, like, 1856 or something, 1855. And so I'm like, dang, huh? Like, y'all had slaves. And he was like, no. And I'm like, no, like, y'all did. Like, and he's like, no, like, that, my grandparents and stuff said, like, we never did. And I was like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, that was the business model. And then, so not only that, so this farm was, like, the largest one in our geographic location, and it's, like, a isolated geographic location. And there's like a population of black people that live down there. And like, that's where my black family comes from. And so it actually dawned on me, like, wait a minute. My family came from this farm. You are the farm that my family came from. This is insane. Like, And when it dawned on me, like, I'm just sitting there like, wow. And I'm just sitting, we're just sitting here having a good time. I'm sitting here at his house, you know, I'm his guest. We're friends, partaking in the growths of the earth. And, and he literally to this day. So that just goes to show you, this farm was created on this free labor. And right now, still, it's still one of the largest farms in our area.
Yeah.
And it owned my family. Like, this is not an, it's not, I'm like, it's not me making this up, because like my family for multiple generations has come from that area.
Cause that's why you're there. Like that's, literally.
That's the only, it's the only reason why they're there. Yeah. They're so isolated down there. It's the only reason why they're there. And so like, the realization that I'm literally hanging out with the, with the descendant of the owner of my slave ancestors, like that is one of the most crazy things. Like, I really can't put that into perspective for you.
No, absolutely.
Like, my ancestors were slaves, and this is the person that owned them. That is in in today's America, you know? It's a big country. It's a big country, but that just goes to show you how isolated we are in these specific in these specific areas. And, you know, even though like the white portion of my family was a more immigratory, you know, backstory and whatnot, the black portion has been rooted here since the founding of America, since the first colonies of the French. The French were the first ones to bring the slaves to America, for this portion, you know, for this, the southern region of the United States, or the Spanish. That actually was the Spanish. It was the Spanish that brought it for the southern United States. But, you know, these original slaves and whatnot, this is where I come from. Like, this is crazy, you know?
I had my own kind of similar but different realization when I learned that like the Roma people were also enslaved for 500 years in Romania, and then the amount of sexual violence that went on, very normal from a very young age. I was like, oh damn, like you can't tell me that my ancestors weren't like, hey, you need to fucking talk about this. Like,
and you know, I would like to point out that's part of the disingenuous arguments that comes from the YT supremacist people, because they love, they would love to lump that in and say that this happened to YT people. But then just previously, like, realistically, if we actually get granular, they're not even going to claim you. They would ostracize you and say, like, no, these people are not, you know?
And no, my ancestors wouldn't be white. Like, they, most Roma people are black and brown, to be honest. Like, we were hated not just for anti-Gypsy, like, rhetoric, but also because of the blackness. And know that they're, the vast majority of Roma people are. I happen, in fact, I'm the whitest person in my ancestry. My parents were boomers. My mom looks significantly more Roma than me. And so does basically the farther back you go, the more overt. So I'm like, I'm the first like successful assimilated to whiteness. And so in my bloodline, I'm like, oh, I need to do everything I can to like rectify what's happened. Like, cause
Well, Dr. B, we are coming to a point where we will need to conclude, but as someone who is actively still researching, still participating in the furtherance of our leftist ideology, I would love to have more conversations with you in the future.
Absolutely.
So if you want to go ahead and give us just a little outro for yourself, or just to wrap up, you know, what it is that you would like the world to have from our conversation here today.
Sure. So my whole thing is, I know that we all deserve better. I know that we all deserve a society in which we are liberated. I know that we all deserve a planet that we can regenerate. I know that we deserve to be in a better ecological relationship with all beings on the planet. And we know, every single person on this planet knows that from their lived experience, the ways that we've been failed. And all I ask of folks is to sit with and understand the deep failure that the system has ushered us into long before we were born. And the way that, like you spoke to earlier, we did not have a choice in it. Like, we are born here, we didn't ask to be here. But quite literally, we owe it to ourselves and others to make the changes that we can while we demand large structural changes that are required, matter-of-factly, to stop and reverse the climate crisis. So these are things, little things that I believe that can be done that I always recommend, so that I'm not leaving folks with like a whole bunch of problems without like providing them what they can do about it. I provide a bunch of probing questions at the end of my book. And I talk about, okay, what are some things that folks can do when they may feel like there's nothing they can do besides voting, et cetera. Right. They can think about who they are, whether they're feeling that they're being genuine and authentic with who they are. That can take, obviously, years. It can take a lifetime. So don't rush yourself on that. It can also be, who am I in relationship? Like, who am I around? Who do I feel appreciated? And am I having a good time when I'm out and taking part in whatever social activities that I'm a part of?
Right.
Am I, like, what sort of environment am I living in? What was the history of that land? What type of water am I able to drink? Is that water safe to drink? What kind of air am I breathing? Is that air safe to breathe? What kind of land am I in? What materials are inside of my home that I have the ability to change? Am I incarcerated in a space where I may or may not have any control over these things? Why does that exist? To whose benefit and to whose cost? Like, these are things that we can change, as well as who are we in relationship to others, like in a sexual nature? Because obviously one of the larger, like, consciousness raising things for me, honestly, was experiencing a lot of sexual violence. And that's obviously one of the most massive problems outside of like just any, I mean, truly, like, it's probably one of the largest issues of our time besides COVID and besides like the ushering in of algorithms and artificial intelligence. And it's so unaddressed. And these are things that can be addressed. So it's like, it's basically a return to our own humanness. How can we become re-embodied? I highly recommend folks look up, if they haven't already, the experience of somatic release, because that's going to be something, like, there's really something to be said about having the strength and the power and deconstructing the idea of weakness that it is to experience emotions and to be present in your own body. And trust me when I tell you that I easily could have drunk myself to death as a late in life realized autistic person that did not know for 30 years. Like, over the last 5 years, I've spent all my time doing everything I possibly can to like get reacquainted with
yourself.
My body.
Yes, literally. Absolutely. And you know, I love that. Yeah. You know, I love that, because I mean, it's something that it's also been a struggle in our family as well. Through my generations, it's something that we don't realize that is in all of us, because, you know, realistically, we didn't even drink water as a species for majority of the time, because it would kill us. So like,
and it's just like, what things do we have control to change? Like you said, what experiences of our life have shown us that it is not safe to be somewhere? Because we all deserve these basic things, and we all deserve to exist in a planet that is going to be able to sustain itself. And at the end of the day, it is abundantly clear that this eugenics culture, this colonial capitalist system, is not going to allow us to continue. And that is not hyperbole. Like, that is a matter of fact. All of the research shows that, whether it's agriculture, whether it's relational, whether it's like truly anything, like it all points to that fact. Like,
that's exactly
so,
it. And I mean, I would love to end there, because that's, I mean, you've wrapped it up in a perfect bow that, you know, they're coming for everything that we have.
Literally.
And we have to do everything that we can to keep, you know, just the crumbs that we were able to scrape together, you know. So, Dr. B, I appreciate you. This is Dr. Bernadette Bowen. Dr. Bernadette Bowen, author of We Are Fucking Machines, Why We Are Like This, and What We Can Do About It. A great conversation today. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your perspective. And frankly, likewise. I just appreciate you being here another day. It's
thank
so
you.
Hard
Me too.
Out here.
Likewise. No
yeah,
facts.
So thank
yeah.
you. Thank you for existing, because your existence you. Has made my life just a little better. And
no,
I feel like at the core, you know, that's the goal of us doing this thing together, in this great experiment that we call life, you know? So you enjoy the rest of your day. I appreciate you, Dr. B.
Thank you. You too.
And with that, family, we're going to go ahead and conclude our first podcast, our first what we're calling podcast, TikTok live stream that we will be stripping down and distributing to our different platforms.
Again, part of our commitment with Memes That Can Save the World, part of our commitment with the Propaganda Factory, to engage everyone on every media and every platform with our Liquidate the Billionaires movement. Because if it is radical to feed people, then I am as radical as Jesus Christ. So everyone have a great day, and thank you for your time today, and thank you for existing.